planning, a strategic planning summit. And then we have also reached out to dozens of our state legislators. We started with the members of the PERC Caucus chairman. I've talked to several of the chairmen in your states, and the response has been overwhelmingly positive. Everyone that I've verbally talked to has said, we're in. This is crucial for such a time as this. We have to do something, and we will make sure that we're there. So it's been a very, very positive response. And the event, the way that it's playing out, and we're going to be sending you some things over the next couple of weeks as they get finalized. We're going to be sending you potential agendas. We're going to be sending you sign-up sheet pages. We're going to be sending you hotel registration, those kinds of things. And it'll give you a more full understanding of what we're trying to do. But two or three things I want to say right off the bat. First of all, we are going to pay all of your expenses and travel and everything for our state directors. So I don't want this to be a burden for any of you. We're going to pay for your hotel, your travel, there will be no registration fees for you. We'll pay for your food. We want to host you at this event. You guys are doing so much, and we don't want to add anything to this, and we want to make sure there's nothing that prevents every one of our state directors from coming to this meeting. We think it's crucial, and we don't want it to be a burden. So I just want you to know I'm getting sponsors, and we're trying to make sure that we have enough money so that, and I feel very confident in that we already have enough to host you guys. And so that is for our state directors. If you want to bring anybody else that is a, you know, partner with you, I don't know that I can put the bill for other people. I'm not even putting the bill for spouses of legislators or these kinds of things. I'm going to come up with a dollar amount. It's not going to be very much. You're going to be, I think, really surprised. We've actually booked these rooms we have them held for $107 a night, and they're suites. They're Marriott Renaissance suites, so it's a very nice room. $107 a night, so it's very affordable. So we may need you to, if you want to bring somebody with you, we may need you to go ahead and foot the bill for them. But for you all, I want to make sure the foundation covers all of your expenses. The second thing is I'm going to ask all of you to be the first responders to anything I send out. I'm going to send out an invitation once we get our landing page. We hope to send it out by Monday, Tuesday at the latest of next week. And what I need each of you to do as soon as you receive it is actually try to sign up. You're going to be our guinea pigs to test all the processes before I send it out to the legislators. So I'll need you to right away try to register for the conference. When we send that, register, go ahead and go on and book your hotel room immediately, because it's, and I'm talking like within 24 hours or even that same day if you would, because if I send it to you on Monday, then I'm going to try to send it to the legislators, 100-plus people on Tuesday, but I've got to test it first. So would you please jump right on that, be my tester so that I can make sure all the bugs are worked out and it works just like I want it to, and then we'll send it out once I hear back from some of you that it worked or didn't work or whatever, then we'll have it ready to send out to all of our legislators. And not just legislators. We've invited high-level leaders as well, you know, Matt Staver and Kelly Shackelford and Tony Perkins and, you know, all these folks that are, of course, Alan West has confirmed. So we have really, this is a high-level leaders meeting. But what I'm asking, this is the third thing I wanted to ask you, is I really would love it if we could, you know, have a state directors meeting and maybe even ask some of our PERC caucus chairs, although I don't think they can, but especially our state directors, to come in a little bit early. I might ask you to do a pre-conference, maybe from 1 to 4, because the conference is going to start at 5:30 on that Friday. But I would really love it if I could get my state directors there early and we could have a few hours together to, you know, to talk about some additional things. So that's just something to consider. I'm trying to work it out so you just can come Friday morning, you know, travel Friday morning, and that's why I'm doing it, starting it in the afternoon. But just so you know, if you have to come in Thursday night, if you're coming from across the country and the flights don't work, I'm happy to, you know, to pay for an additional room for you to come Thursday night if that's the way that you need to do it for your travel. So, again, I want to make it so there's no hurdles. It's a blessing that we can really come together and face-to-face and have some really meaningful strategic conversations while we're there at this summit. So the last thing is I've sent you each a list of the legislators that we're inviting, and you'll see there's three things. There's ones that we're inviting that's clear. They're our per caucus chairs, or they're the people that we know personally. Then there's another list that we're thinking about inviting. They've been referred to us by people who are credible. And then there's a fourth, third section, which is we aren't really sure of anybody in these states of who to invite. And we've asked Tony Perkins to weigh in. And if you guys could just review that list and make sure that we're inviting the right people in your state, let us know if there's anybody else that really should be invited, and then get back to us right away. Because like I said, these invites will probably go out next Monday or Tuesday, potentially Wednesday at the latest. And then so we'll need to hear from you quickly. And then if you have any recommendations of other legislators or any changes that need to be made, make sure you let us know right away. And I'm going to also ask you to be intentional about following up with the legislators, especially if they have not RSVP'd yet, or just confirm with them, or even confirm, hey, I understand you're going to this. We're very excited. We'll be there together. Just so that your feet on the ground, the more they're invited or the more they hear about this, if they haven't confirmed, the more likely that they're going to confirm. So, but they will all get email invitations from us, from the foundation, plus they will potentially get a phone call from the foundation. So, you know, with these legislators, you can't contact them too many times when it comes to something like this. Any questions about the summit before I move on to the In God We Trust campaign? Okay, great. Hopefully I gave you enough time to
get off. This is Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
Yeah. At the end of the thing, what do you hope that we've accomplished?
Well, that's a really great question, and I'm not really ready to go into that in depth right now because there's several conversations that are still happening there. When you get our material, I think you'll get a sense of what the purpose of the conference is. But let me just say this. I'm trying to find my notes. The things that we're saying is this conference, the purpose of it is a strategic gathering of government and national leaders around the goal of preserving America's Judeo-Christian heritage and protecting religious freedom. Together, we will identify the relevant trends and threats related to religious freedom, formulate a tactical plan to reverse the dangerous trend of censoring God and revising America's religious history, and three, equip and mobilize a high-level network for rapid response. Now, the three areas that we feel, and when I say we, this is still very much an ongoing conversation with the members of Congress who are instrumental in convening this summit, this meeting. And the three areas which we feel like we have potential of a real, genuine opportunity is certainly in the area of calling the nation to pray. And this would be unique in the fact that it would be like days of old, where it's the members of our government who are calling the nation to pray in a united way, as opposed to ministries or organizations who are calling for days of fasting or prayer. Now, I know that we have government prayer things, and I know that we have, sort of the president sort of doing the prayer thing, but none of those have come in the same sort of way in which a nationwide day of prayer and fasting coming from the government, like we used to, like Abraham did, Lincoln did, and they did during World War I, and all these different ones. So there's room for that option. And then the second thing is legislation. We know that there are some ways in which we can legislate and provide an environment in which religious freedom can be protected in a meaningful and a long-term way if we do it in an intentional and united fashion. And then the third one would be as spokesman. And there are some ideas that are being floated about how can these government leaders actually be spokesmen for this in a more comprehensive, robust robust way across this nation, joining their voices uniquely, like maybe hasn't been done before, because this gathering is really a unique moment in time. We really, it's a sort of a first of its kind type of gathering in this event. And members of Congress feel very strongly that we have to make it a strategic and meaningful time together. That is the big answer. Drilling down to specifics is exactly what's going to be happening over these next few months as we have ongoing conversations. All righty. Well, of course, I'm available if you have any more questions for this, and you'll be getting more information from us as the you know, next week or 2 weeks, and you'll please feel free to email or call if you have more questions. But this is really, really important for two reasons. One, it's the impact it could have, well, three reasons, the impact it could have on the nation. Two, the coming together and sort of solidifying and giving a fresh vision to our current state prayer caucus chairs as well as state directors and all that, and coming together in a meaningful way to really give us direction and vision and solidify what we have here, because this network is unique and pretty amazing. And thirdly, to bring in additional states. We're actually going to be inviting people in other states who have not formed prayer caucuses, who we've identified as potential, and it could jump advance a number of states and grow the network dramatically in sort of one fell swoop, as opposed to what we've been doing, which is state by state, which we love, and that's how we wanted to start it. But we all sort of feel like it might be time to cast the vision in a more comprehensive way to more states at one time. So that's why we're inviting, hopefully, legislators from nearly every state to come to this summit and get a vision for this and then go back and launch their prayer caucus or be a part of this network. So we feel like it has multiple applications, this summit. All righty.
Can I just add something to that? I'm just, this is Bob, by the way. I'm a little concerned that to keep silent conveys the wrong kind of message to you. I just want to say I think this is very exciting. It's wonderful. It's a very specific and tangible way to promote everything that we're together talking about. And I want to just thank you for doing this and for putting this together. I'm very anxious to see, to actually experience it. And both the state senator and state representative from Maine that you spoke with about it, Dale Crafts and Dave Burns, both of them are already very excited about it and looking forward to coming. So I feel a little guilty to just say, okay, and go to the next thing without adding that. So that's my two cents worth. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Leah, this is Jenny, and that's what I also, the part about paying for the state directors, and I am sure that I know I'm speaking for everybody on this phone call, but the thought, to thank you and your team for even thinking of putting together and trying to pay for our expenses, just great gratitude and thankfulness to y'all for thinking of us in that and putting this together. Much appreciation. I don't want to move without thanking you so much for that.
Thanks, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Well, I appreciate all of you so much, and I look forward to getting your feedback, and I really am excited about our being face-to-face and having a more opportunity to work together in that way. Going on to the Ngabwich Test update, I just wanted to kind of give you a concept of that. We've now sold over $100,000 worth of window cleanings. We feel really excited about what has happened. We have not only multiple media opportunities, including Alan West the other day was on a conference. We had a full-page ad in the Washington Times and an article. We've had celebrities that are coming on board. We have, of course, this two-minute video that has been very well received. I know Ohio and Kentucky have both raised money for their state promoting the Ngabwich Trust using the URLs that we the landing pages that we provided for them. We have over 30 organizations who are behind this and are promoting this. We have multiple organizations that on Constitution Day, when we had the full-page ad, did additional Facebook ads. Our CJ, which we told you about, our media relations director, she is launching what we're calling a selfie campaign, which will be getting people to take selfies of themselves, putting up their window clings and sending them to us so we can post them on Facebook, websites, that kind of thing. She's putting that whole campaign together just to kind of give another shot in the arm. We have multiple shots in the arms that we're sort of rolling out as need be to continue this. We have the Ngawi Trust store. We took it down, the current one, because we had some issues with it, but we're going to rework the store and put it up with posters that will be usable for, say, schools. If you want to have a poster, some people are getting their own poster made, which is great, no problem, but if you don't have that and you want a poster, we'll have those available. We'll have lapel pins that will have our Ngawi Trust sort of color design on it. People are loving those. Also, we have a replica Ngawi Trust display that's like replica of what is actually going up in the Member of Congress offices. I think you remember we've got 100 of those going up in Member of Congress offices that they're taking pictures, and they've actually sent out pictures and tweets of or Facebook posts of themselves and their displays. We'll continue to do that. Plus, we're going to provide a replica of that for citizens or for state legislators or different ones that will be affordable and something we can easily have people purchase if they want. So we're thinking of more ways. Plus, in Mississippi, we just got contacted by a woman who they have been working on putting posters in every school. I think many of you may not know that Mississippi actually passed legislation in 2005 requiring Ngawi Trust be posted in every school in Mississippi. And honestly, they're supposed to do that before they get their federal funding. And these folks found that many of the Mississippi schools were not in compliance. So they began to approach all the schools about making sure that we have an Ngawi Trust poster displayed in their schools, every single school in Mississippi. So really been fun. They've done an entire website, and they've worked on it. So we're going to sort of welcome them into the fold and make sure that we promote what they're doing and do everything we can to help them. But Delbra, of course, you know, is doing a whole campaign there in Illinois and has been very exciting to see what they're doing. So the thing that's exciting about this, and we've been talking about doing a national campaign, the members of Congress are really excited about that, where we might do a nationwide art contest or video contest or writing contest all around this and then have the winners come to Washington, D.C. for a day, them and their families, where they would be hosted by the members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus and all that and take pictures and be able to put up displays in Congress offices. Because, again, they want to use this as a tool. And, again, don't forget what this is. This is not just isn't this neat, we're putting up posters. This is use this as a tool to reverse the narrative that people think that we're losing on every front and that God's being ripped out of America. We have a safe harbor and an easy way to completely reverse the momentum using this in God We Trust campaign. And that's the vision that we have for this. So we really hope that you are, embracing it and coming and maybe considering how your state might engage. But we're behind this fully and want to do everything we can using our resources, using our media relations person, CJ, anything that we can do on our end to help promote any efforts that you're doing, we're wanting to put our resources and our time and energy there. So that's it for me. Any questions about the Ngawi Trust campaign before I pass it over to Summer?
Yes. So who in the office, if I needed a poster or a banner made, who would be doing that?
Well, we haven't actually – I'll have to get back with you on that, Thomas, because we have not yet created a poster, but we're thinking about asking Fran to this month, actually. She's working on another project for us right now, so we've kind of got her engaged in that. But as soon as she's done with that, we're going to ask her to create a generic poster that everybody could use, and even a poster that maybe could be even tweaked slightly from state to state. We just kind of have to think that through a little bit, where somebody can use the base of it, the gist of it, and then tweak it. Or if we just feel like we can create a generic poster that would be good for everybody, and have that available on in the store that people could purchase at a really reasonable rate. We're not trying to make money on this. We're just trying to make it available to everybody, and we'd figure that out. So we will be working on that poster this month.
All right, because I was wanting to have a number of there's been a number of political events across the state, and have had opportunities to have a free booth, but I didn't have the materials to put out. So I was just kind of wondering what kind of resources we had for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and right now we had another man that asked us about the same thing, and what we sent them was, you know, we have the 2-minute video that a person can play right now on a loop. That's very, very powerful. We have the In God We Trust decals that we can make available to people. We also have flyers that we've made available and bulletin inserts. And so all of that is available right now, as well as the House Resolution 13, a copy of that, so people can see, you know, what we're encouraging. And we actually have a poster on the old website, but I'm not real crazy about it. But So all of those things are available right now if a person wanted to promote the Million Window campaign and just show people the resolution and play the 2-minute video and things like that. It's not the fullness of what it's going to be, but it's something. It's a start. All right. Well, Summer, I'm going to pass it over to you. I know I've taken up a lot of time, but I wanted to really give the fullness of the summit and the In God We Trust campaign to you guys, and really appreciate you letting me sort of take up a good chunk of time this meeting. So, Summer, pass it over to you to keep it going.
Great. Thank you, Leah. I am so excited that we all get together. I can't wait for the moment that we can all be together, pray together, and just get to know each other a little bit more on a personal basis. So we are looking forward to March. Just a couple of items that I wanted to go over. As we're continuing to grow, I wanted to streamline our processes so that we kind of have one place where everybody's compiling information for multiple purposes. I've sent out links probably in the last month, actually it would have been last month, where there's a link to a state director log. It's a Google Doc that I've labeled state director log, and it's a place where each state can log events and the details of the events and any notes so that we can all be going there and seeing, first of all, what's worked, what hasn't worked. Also, this is information that we can glean from and send to the members of Congress. We can send to the congressional wives because we are communicating with them as often as possible. We're trying to do it weekly to give them updates as to what's happening and to encourage them about the efforts of the network. So if you have not received that link, please do let me know. But let's try to start logging, if we could, information there. Again, it's a place where we can all states can learn from one another, and there can be just a one place that we can all log information. So that would be one thing I want to discuss. Also, I created a calendar. It's a Google calendar where everybody can log upcoming events. This would be so the state director log that I just mentioned would be events that have taken place, and then the calendar that I sent would be for upcoming events so that we can be praying for one another and also so that we can be getting any media coverage that would be needed or necessary. As I mentioned, CJ Wheeler, CJ is our new media relations director, and so she also has access to that calendar and would be able to then be in the communication process of what would need to have media coverage. So let me know if you have not received, again, those links. Also, for the upcoming session, we all know that we're going to be focusing on prayer, legislation, education, mobilization. And I think we're all just starting to see, we have seen, and we're just seeing the absolute necessity of us being focused and mobilized, specifically even for children, for schools. We're seeing a national initiative that's been launched by atheists to encourage children, citizens, to sit out of the pledge, and ultimately they're instilling in them this anti-God, anti-patriotic spirit, if you will. And so this, you know, as we continue to plan and strategize for the next session, we also want to, if we can, think about how we can be impacting society and culture, and specifically schools. More evidence of why this is necessary. There's Christian groups that have been derecognized recently at Christian colleges, specifically actually California State University. There are now 13 or 23 campuses that have derecognized InterVarsity and Navigators, because they don't want to have any other leadership other than Christians. And it's these non-discrimination laws that we've talked about before that are now creating protections based on race, sex, gender, and sexual orientation that are now preventing Christian groups from this, what they call discriminating against anybody who doesn't hold their similar belief. So this, again, is another reason why we need to do whatever we can to impact culture, to pray, again, strategize through legislation as to what will help protect our Judeo-Christian values and religious liberty, educate our sphere of influence, and also mobilize as much as possible, get people as connected, informed, and engaged as possible. Another thing I wanted to mention as an update, a positive update, really, you all hopefully saw that recently there was a campaign by atheists to force IRS to censor sermons. And thankfully, they have given up on that. They've actually dropped the case because they realize that the Johnson Amendment, which most of you probably are aware of, was offered. It actually was Senator Lyndon Johnson, was instrumental in getting this part of the IRS tax code. But the atheists have realized that this Johnson Amendment is actually unconstitutional. And this is the amendment that basically has been used to reinforce separation of church and state and to silence pastors and Christians in regard to anything to speak about important issues of the day. So again, this is ADF has created a Pulpit Freedom Sunday initiative, which is encouraging pastors and leaders to continue to stand and to speak the truth on values and the importance of the voting values. And so good news, atheists have dropped their case, and also to hopefully get that Johnson Amendment removed from the tax code, ADF has created Pulpit Freedom Sunday. So I just encourage you all to look into that a little bit more. The last thing I wanted to discuss before we turn it over to the states is the National Summit invitees. I sent out yesterday, actually, a spreadsheet that had names of the individuals that we were looking to invite from the states, from your state specifically. We're looking to invite two legislators from each state. And so on that spreadsheet is who we've identified as the best possible invitee for the summit. And we would love your feedback on that. If you think that there's maybe a change that needs to be made, please do let us know, because we would love to get your feedback. So I did send that spreadsheet. If you're having trouble opening it or need me to resend, please let me know.
This is a follow-up to that. Questions? This is Leah. This is a follow-up to that. Summer said two invitees. Honestly, we want every prayer caucus chairman there, whether it's one, two, three, or four. We do want some other key legislators there potentially as well. If you've got two legislators, plus you have another legislator that might be up-and-coming leadership, another legislator that's just active, maybe isn't a chairman, but is very active in the prayer caucus, you know, we really do want the right people there, and we don't want to limit it. So really pray and talk to your prayer caucus chairs. I've talked to a few of them and said, hey, who should I invite? And they've told me who they recommend I invite. And they're on that list, and they're so so there isn't any that I haven't put on there. But I do want you to know that we're thinking if we had two legislators from every state, that's 100 legislators. We know we're going to have probably 10 to 15 congressmen plus all of you. It'd be great if we could get about 150 people there at this summit. You know, 200 starts to get unwieldy. 100, we wouldn't probably have people from every state. So just kind of bear that in mind. There might be a few more from a few states or a few less, but we're not trying to limit to a specific number, just the right people.
Great. And if you all want to either call me or email with any changes, feel free to do that. I was going to potentially discuss it on the call, but I see we're running low on time, and I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to share. I do want to put Pastor Bob, if I may, put you on the spot just a moment. I know you recently had a meeting with the chairman, and you discussed a strategy for the next session. If you could discuss the challenges that you experienced in this last session with the RFRA, and then also how that meeting went, or what you feel like you can share that was important for the next session as it pertains to Maine.
Sure. Thank you. The big challenge that we face, of course, our entire legislature is up for re-election this year, and so everybody's in campaign mode. Big time right now, and not to minimize at all the providence of God, but I'm thinking in sort of political terms, and that much will be determined by the makeup of the new legislature. In other words, if we can get more friendly legislators elected, that will help our chances of moving some things forward. The last session of the legislature, Senator Burns, who is our Senate chair, chair of the prayer caucus, he sponsored a bill, our RFRA. It went fairly well. We had very good response from the public, and an incredible amount of legislators who were willing to co-sponsor and speak at a public hearing on behalf of it. But the forces that were against it, the same crowd, using the same kind of terminology and including our state attorney general, it was they just completely distorted its purpose. And all of that to say, we're working on educating people about that, have been ever since then. I have been working with pastors all around the state, getting them to understand the issue and the importance. Our legislators have been working with their constituents, and it's becoming, I wouldn't say of great significance, but it is becoming a significant campaign issue. I mean, it's being discussed at public forums and so forth. So we saw that when we had a conversation recently, saw that as a very good sign. We're going to move forward with it no matter what the makeup of the legislature is, but we are praying that God will give us enough friendly legislators to pass that. I did get a written statement, a personal letter from our governor of very strong support of religious liberty, and he gave that to me in writing so that it could be used for whatever purposes to advance this. And considering that it failed in the legislature was a pretty significant move on his part. So we're feeling somewhat optimistic about all of that, and thinking that these are indicators that the Lord is stirring people to see the importance of the prayer caucus. We had our strategy session about legislation and about what to do with the prayer caucus. We ran out of time before we finished, but we had a very good, we feel like things sort of lingered, kind of stalled partway through the session last time around for a variety of reasons, part of that my own fault. But that was the big challenge. The thing we discussed was how to overcome that and how to avoid that happening when we get to that real busy season toward the end of the last half of the session, when everybody gets extremely busy and so forth. So we're doing some long-range planning. We're planning a monthly event When the legislature goes into session, they'll have their regular prayer times twice a week, just to accommodate different schedules at the State House. And then once a month, we'll meet off campus. One of the area churches right close by in the Capitol, near Augusta, is that we have churches who are willing to host a just a sort of a casual and informal meal for legislators, any legislators that want to go, so that they can encourage each other spiritually. We spend some time in the scriptures and then spend time praying together. Very much more informal, much more personal, I think, for legislators, so they can get away from the policy atmosphere and they can minister to each other. And so that's, we see those as kind of the key for us. And then from that, we've agreed that we want to have another conversation, which may not happen before the elections just because of their schedules. We want to have another conversation about reaching out, make more public awareness about the prayer caucus. That was something that they've been very timid about doing previously. For a variety of reasons, because they want the focus to be on prayer and ministry rather than a publicity kind of thing. So it was just sort of hard to find that balance, I think. But that's kind of where we are. That's a quick run through. But the three of us, our Senate leader and our House leader, and then myself as the state director, and they asked me to continue doing that. And the three of us made a commitment to each other before the Lord that we would make this a high priority, and we see the importance of it. It's just we needed to make that commitment to each other to stick with it and move things forward. So I'm pretty excited about it and what the possibilities are. There's a lot of interest. The one thing that we're not sure how to manage is that there's a lot of interest on the part of the public, the outside the legislature, people who live close by the Capitol, who very much enjoy like going and being, and they've always had an open door policy that anyone can come to the prayer time that they have. The problem is it sometimes gets a little overwhelming, and so the legislators, they get a little shy around that many people who are outside the legislature, and especially when it comes to sharing more personal things. And so trying to decide how to manage that to keep the focus for legislators and yet not turn away everyone else, is we haven't found the solution to that yet, but that's one of our challenges. They have the other people. People are very excited all over the state. And I've especially in the last couple of months, but I have covered every corner of the state of Maine and been in, 130 some churches. And the people are very excited when they hear that our legislators are there, as a group of them meeting together and praying together at the State House. So I'm not sure where to go with all of that, but that's what we're looking for. Any counsel that anybody has, I would love to hear it, either by phone or email or whatever, but that's where we are.
It's good. I appreciate
Summer,
that.
Can I ask something really quick? This is Jenny.
Yes, please.
I was just thinking that Pastor Bob was talking about a sponsored bill and about the proclamation that his governor signed for religious liberty. And I just was wondering if you could pass that information, a copy of that, to the rest of us. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I know when I did the 7/14/14, just sending the proclamation that our governor signed for prayer to others, several other governors copied that, changed it a little bit to personalize it. But I think that's kind of part, if we can see some major things going on in the other states and those states would share with us and our governors could see what the other governors are doing, I think we could maybe really build upon that. So I don't know if anybody feels
sure.
Was it a proclamation or was it a letter, just a personal letter that he sent you?
This was a letter. It's a personal letter, but it was with the idea of there isn't any problem as far as making it public. It was for him to give. It was a mechanism for him to give a clear statement on his view on religious liberty. So that was you know, it's not in the form of a proclamation. We have done a proclamation in the past, and just as he's done proclamation for a day of prayer, and the problem with those that we've, what we have found is that we don't know how to make those, what we need to find a way to communicate those beyond. When a proclamation is done, the group that asks for the proclamation gets a copy and they see it, and you know, and like myself included, we enjoy it. We share it among ourselves, but they're not really, I mean, they're not hidden. They're on the website, but unless someone knows to go and look for it, so a way to get that around to other people so that Christian people could see those things would, that's what we kind of struggle with. I mean, it's relatively easy for us right now, and with our current governor, at least, depending on how the elections come out. But with our current governor, he's very willing to issue a proclamation, as are several legislators, to sponsor something like that. But then the question is, what do you do with the proclamation after it's issued?
Well, and we send it out through our email list, beyond just the prayer caucus when we had ours done. But I think the big thing is right now, and then maybe finding out from each other how we do this in a future time, but just I think it would be encouraging to get these for us to have when we meet with our governors and our legislators to show that they are not alone, that there are other governors. And I just feel like that would start to build them up and start to have a synergy across our nation. For them, just as you're talking about going to pastors, they need to know that there's others. You know, we need to know there's others there, and I think that's been a big problem, that people think they're alone. And I think it's changing now, but I'm just talking about the church person, the pastor, the governor, whatever. So I just, if we could share those things, I think it would. I know my governor has asked, you know, let me know what other governors are doing. I think it's encouraging to them. I don't know about the rest of you.
Sure.
Jenny, I'd be happy to share what we have. I want to speak to that too, Jenny. I think you are exactly right. And two things that just came up are absolutely crucial that we feel like we have the opportunity to really advance. One of them is providing a clearinghouse like that. We're working on creating an environment online in which these kinds of things can be posted or inaccessible, not only what are other governors doing proclamations, what kind of legislation, enduring legislation is actually working well, that we've looked at, we've said worked well, has lasting, so that we can also sort of filter some of the best legislation and even give you recommendation of what we encourage your state to pattern after. Not all legislation is equal in its excellence. We want legislation that has been reviewed by attorneys and has already been defended in other states successfully. Those are the pieces of legislation that are golden because they've already been proven. We really are working hard to become that clearinghouse for you. And in the meantime, absolutely share with one another. But I just want you to know that's of utmost importance. And the second thing is, too, what you just said regarding letting people know that they're not alone, that is another really crucial piece to all of this in helping make sure that the legislators are feel supported, as well as governors and all the folks that are trying to work on this together.
Thank you.
Good. One thing I wanted to ask Pastor Bob was, I know that after the Hobby Lobby win, a lot of states were upgrading their RFRAs to include the religious liberty of businesses. Do you know if that piece of legislation actually had that in there?
It did not, but we're planning to put that in there for this next one, the one in the new session.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Actually, this is Leah. I'm gonna butt in here because I know we're running out of time. There was one other point I wanted to make. I remembered just as I was wrapping up. You said something really important, Bob, also, which was
lots of proclamations are being made, lots of ways in which people want to step up and be a voice and say, hey, let's all pray together. But you hit it on the head. A lot of times these are not that meaningful because they don't actually have a mechanism in which implementation can happen and robust buy-in happens. That happens at the church level. And so what you just said is crucial. We feel like it's very possible that the Lord is giving us a network of leaders who actually will create such a strong voice together to call for some serious nationwide days of prayer and fasting across the church. It's one thing, again, to have ministries or independent states call for this, but we're wondering if the Lord isn't creating an opportunity for us to create a nationwide call to prayer by multitude, hundreds of government leaders across the nation who will join together with one voice and be able to then implement this and get this out to the churches in such a way that it has widespread participation. Because that's, I think, what you were talking about, is how do you get widespread participation and buy-in of the whole church, Catholic, Protestant, you know, the whole Church of Jesus Christ coming together. And so, you know, would you guys pray about that? Because we haven't had this kind of government, large government gathering around this one issue before. And I don't know about you, but as I've prayed about this, that's the one thing I hope and pray that the Lord is working. I'm hoping that's exactly what the Lord has in mind. Again, that we again would be called, that our government leaders will call for this in a way that has not been called for decades. So would you guys pray with us about that? Because, Bob, you hit it. It's not just the saying of it and the proclaiming of it. We've got lots of leaders who will do that. It's how do we get the widespread participation in it in such a way that's meaningful, that can change the country. So,
yes.
Trying to guard the time that I don't want to take a lot of time on something like but here we did in Maine a number of years ago, a few years ago. I tried to start a movement for a day of prayer and fasting, based on a New England tradition that predates the Constitution even. And the response to it at that time, it just was among churches. The response to it at that time was good, but it was somewhat hesitant. But it caught on enough so that a local television station actually came to our church and asked if they could come and set up a camera crew and film the event. And they did a short story about it, and everybody was curious, like, why are you doing this? What's this about? It was sad to say, we just never did follow up with that. If we were to do the same thing again, by contacting as many churches and pastors, and there are networks of pastors and churches all over the country now that could be tapped into. I apologize for that noise. But if you could put that together with a call to prayer by government leaders, and if we could coordinate somehow, you know, a national day just like that, just in a little different sort of way, I just think that could really catch on very big. And I think that that's something that the Lord would use to stir a lot of people and bring a lot of people together. And if we could, this sounds politically incorrect to say it, but I love it. If we could somehow bring the government and the church together to get behind an effort like that, and then having the right kind of proclamation from both Congress and state governors and state legislators, and have networks of churches and people, I just think that would be very exciting, and it's very doable.
Well, and I want to follow
up
on that, Bob. Yeah, absolutely, and that's right. And just to kind of give you all an understanding of what the Lord has done in his kindness and the favor that he's given the foundation, we pretty much have personal relationship with most of the top people across the nation, both the pastors' networks. I know personally the heads of many of the pastors' networks, many of the major prayer ministries now, Bot Radio, Salem Network, NRB, TBN, CBN, media opportunities to cover this kind of thing, pastors' networks, celebrities. I mean, the Lord has given us favor and now connections in so many places in almost every sphere of society because of I'm not going to go into it, but anyways, we're a unique space. We're covering a unique space. So what you're talking about is very real, and it's very doable, and I think that's what the members of Congress understand, and that's what the state prayer caucus chairs understand that we have the possibility of doing. So what you're talking about, Bob, is exactly what I would like everybody to pray about. We have an opportunity here that I think the Lord is putting all the pieces together to do something very significant like that, and I can see it. I mean, I can see it coming together in ways that are just remarkable. So not out of the realm. In fact, the very heart's desire to see happen if this is what the Lord's doing. So, and I know our time is up, and we haven't had time to give each of the states opportunity to speak. And so, Summer, if we could just wrap up by opening it up, maybe just if you guys can hang with us for five more minutes, just in case there's anybody that has something that's really burning on your heart that you want to say. And I apologize for anybody else that wanted to share this week, but if we could just open it up for anybody that really feels like they have something they want to share, and then we'll wrap up in prayer. And please feel free, you can always email each other. If you have something you want to share with all of us, just do a group email and get it out to all of us as well. So maybe we could wrap up in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's good. I just want to say really quick, one of the things that I wanted to ask that we could do or be watching for and be thinking about, Pastor Bob said that when the RFRA went out that there was the other side flooded with misinformation. So what I'd love to do is start identifying the myths, if you will, around the Religious Freedom Restoration Acts and the other types of legislation that are protecting religious freedom so that we can start coming up with a national campaign, if you will, to reverse that trend and to speak truth into those issues. So that's one thing I wanted to mention, if we could start thinking about and noting down and then be thinking about what we can do to actually educate the population. I do want to open it up, though. Is there anybody that has something that you really want to share? And I know you all do. You all have things that are going on. That is, I just want to give an opportunity right now for anybody to share.
Excuse me, Pastor McIntosh from Connecticut. I don't have anything to share, but I would like to request the spreadsheet. I either didn't get it or couldn't open it, or I need that spreadsheet that you sent out.
No problem. I'll be happy to send that.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I'm giving a minute for people to unmute.
This is Beth in Colorado. I'm just asking, you guys for a prayer. For peace for me, I received a call from the State Patrol. I received mail in my name at the Capitol along with another legislator that they grabbed and took and held out from the rest of the mail and opened for us. I am not allowed to divulge the contents of the letter because is being investigated with Homeland Security and the FBI. The same letter also showed up at Senator Lundberg's campaign mailbox addressed to me. And I am in no danger, but why this person has decided to target me. Sandy Lundberg said she thinks he just feels like I'm a person that would listen, and the State Patrol are assuming that it's because of my connection with the Prayer Caucus. So I'm not in any danger. I'm fine, but I'm just not very at peace yet. Still working on that, hanging out with my friends at the Colorado Family Action Office quite a bit in the last week. So there's that.
Okay. Great. Well, we will definitely be praying, Beth. Thank you for sharing. And we'll pray for you today, actually, as we end. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we'll hopefully have more time on future calls. We will have more time on future calls for sharing. And, of course, do be in contact with – we want to all maintain contact throughout the days and months. So, good. Well, as we close, I'm going to ask Jack from Tennessee. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you don't mind closing us in prayer today.
Father, we thank you for your word that – for your word that greater is you in us than he that is in the world. Father, we take comfort in that. We are greatly at peace because of that, Father, no matter what we see or hear with our senses. Lord, we know that you are at work and that you're working out your plan. And Lord, all the plans that are discussed and shared, Father, we just ask for your blessing upon them, of favor. And Lord, we ask for breakthrough for each and every state, including Tennessee. In Jesus' name, Father, we just thank you for the leadership in all of the states and at the foundation level and at the Congress, Lord. We are so grateful for your mercies, to which, Lord, we thank you for them. New every day. We receive them gratefully, Lord. We need them. We just thank you for your favor. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
And Lord, again, we thank you for protection, Father, that you are our protector. Father, I pray for Beth specifically, God, that you would be on guard around her, around the legislators in Colorado. We know the spiritual war is raging, but God, we do know and we acknowledge that you have all authority. Father, be a hedge around her. Father, I pray that you'd hide her from the secret counsels of the wicked. And Father, that those threats would literally be just null and void, if you will. Father, I pray that you raise up an army of intercessors around her, around each one of the state directors, around each legislator, Father, an army of legislators around, I'm sorry, intercessors around each and every one.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we need your reinforcement, your angelic reinforcement. We ask you to release angelic forces to protect Beth and each and every one on this call, each and every member of the CPC, the APCN, each and every one of us, Lord. It is for your glory. We refuse to fear evil. We will not stop, quit, or retreat, and we look to you to be our help, to be our strength, to be our hope. And, Lord, we give you all of our plans and strategies. It is you that gives us the supernatural ability and unction to do it, Lord, and we ask you to complete what you've started here in each state and each one of us in this nation, Father. Because we want America to be saved. We want this nation to be a nation, your inheritance, Lord. And so again, Father, we thank you for this time together. We trust you to protect us. We trust you to be everything that we need, to release everything that we need in order to accomplish your will with excellence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Another just very encouraging call. We thank you. We thank God for each one of you, and we will definitely be in touch. I'm going to go ahead and resend the spreadsheet. Some people are having trouble saving it, so I'll go ahead and resend that to you. And let's be in constant communication and be just continuing to work together for his glory. Thank you all so much. God bless you.
Thanks. Bye, all.
Bye-bye, all.
God bless you guys. Bless you, Beth.